Welcome to the Coalition for Physician Wellbeing's podcast, The Wellbeing Connector, where through our guests, we explore ideas for making healthcare a better place to work and serve. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Today, I have a very special guest and a very special podcast. My guest today is Roy Reed. Roy is a sought-after speaker and a leading authority on trust, public relations, business communications, and marketing with extensive experience in healthcare. He works with CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business leaders to develop more effective, resilient teams and build a high-trust culture. He has extensive experience in public relations, having served as the Executive Director of Communications for Avid Health. Before that, he is at the University of Central Florida College of Business, a partner with Consensus Communications, and served as Director of Corporate Communications for Florida Hospital, now Avid Health. But most importantly to me, Roy has taken over my role as host of the podcast for the Coalition for Physician Wellbeing. The time has come for me to pursue other endeavors, and I cannot be more thrilled to be leaving the podcast in such capable hands.
Well, thank you, Roy, for joining us on the podcast today. This is a special event, as you know.
It's great to be here. I'm excited to join the team.
So for those who don't know, I've done close to 50 podcasts now, and I'm moving on to other things. And Roy and I are going to have a discussion today, but the result of the discussion is Roy's taken over the podcast. He's continuing the tradition for the Coalition, and we'll keep the podcast going. And I want to thank him for that, and I'm thrilled that he's here to join us the podcast today and for the transition subsequently. So thank you, Roy.
Thank you. And thank you for all you've done so far in supporting the Coalition through the podcast. The topics and the program has been very helpful to me as somebody who's worked in healthcare for most of my life. And I know a lot of people get value out of it. So I'm hoping that we can continue on the tradition and the benefits that you've provided.
Well, thank you, Roy. It's been an honor and a pleasure, and I'm glad to so pleased that I've had this wonderful opportunity that the Coalition gave me. So it's been wonderful. I think the audience knows me a little bit, but I think this is a good chance just for introduce yourself. Just say a little bit about yourself before we get into discussion.
Sure, happy to. I am a communications professional with 30 years of experience. In my life, I've spent half of that time in the healthcare environment, in the corporate environment as well, and then half of that time in the consulting and now coaching and training environment. So most of the in-house communications roles that I've had in my career, I held at Advent Health. And up until just about a year ago, I was the executive director of communications. And I managed a variety of the communications work in the corporate office and worked a lot with leadership, executive communications for the CEO. And part of my responsibility was working as a liaison with the Coalition for Physician Wellbeing. So I've had the opportunity to work with the team at the events. I've been a speaker at the annual conference and at some of their other events and have done workshops for them as well. So as they were looking for a transition, I was happy to step in and work with the group. My current role is as in two functions. So primarily I work with leaders, CEOs, and other executive leaders as a coach, training and providing some consulting services, most of it based in the content that I co-developed and co-wrote with Dr. Amira Mansfield, who's been one of your guests before, called The Trust Transformation. And so I launched my coaching and training practice in 2023 and work with a variety of organizations in that regard. And what aligns to the Coalition is that my goal with the client is to really help them improve their health, their well-being, and their performance, and to look at it through that lens that we are so focused on in this work of the whole person. And what really inspires me to this work is my own journey. So 1,560 days ago, but who's counting? I started what I call my second life. And what I mean by that is on May 25th of 2019, I suffered an acute aortic dissection. And I'm sure most of the audience will be familiar with that term in the healthcare world, but anyone who's not in that world might not understand that. It's not a heart attack. It means that my aorta was splitting open. And for me, the specific issue was it was splitting open all the way from the carotid artery down to the root. I woke up in the middle of the night with the worst pain I'd ever had. I woke my wife up and we jumped in the car, drove to Advent Health Altamont, where one of the nurses recognized what was going on because I had a stroke on the way and became completely non-responsive. The nurse recognized the signs. They put me in the CT scan. They flew me from Altamont to Orlando. They worked on me for 6 hours to repair it. And by repairing it, they replaced the upper arch of the aorta with synthetic material. At the time, the concern in my recovery was also that so much oxygen had been lost and not getting to the brain and the other organs. They put me in a coma. And during the time I was in the coma, there was really a prevailing idea that there was no prognosis for a positive outcome. That if I survived, which the chances were significantly higher post-surgery, I'd likely need nursing care the rest of my life because of the lack of oxygen to the brain or the other organs. And miraculously, I woke up with all my faculties. I spent a month in the hospital. I was 6 months out of work and returned in November of 2019, only to find that there was an aneurysm that needed to be fixed. I went back into surgery in February of 2020 and then, interestingly enough, returned to work in March of 2020. So the pandemic had hit, people had been sent home, and for the next 2 years, we were doing all COVID all the time. But I share that because as we go through these traumatic events in our lives, you can't help but be more reflective and dive into the things that really matter. This event reset my purpose, which now is comprised of four ideas: to love people, to be grateful, to give generously, and to make a difference. And so when I sort of faced that career crossroads and asked how could I do that, I really felt like in the realm of a coach and counsel and otherwise, I could take this content that I had been blessed to carry with me, these experiences that I've been given in my career and really apply from a life now that's been defined by mission, medicine, and miracles to help people in their journey and do what they want. So I'm thrilled to be able to continue the work that you've started here on the podcast, and hopefully through the stories we'll tell, the people we'll introduce them to, and the ideas that get shared here make a difference in people's lives.
Wow, that's quite a story. I didn't know all that. And we all encounter the health system at some point, but when you have an encounter such as that, it just makes the whole purpose of what we do just that much more important. We all want a well-functioning system, and the system doesn't function without people being well in the system. And we're all going to be patients someday in some capacity. Our family members are patients all the time. I'm thrilled you're bringing such a purpose to what you're doing. That's wonderful.
Well, I appreciate that. And I can't say enough about the coalition's work. And it really came to life for me. Here's an ironic twist to the story. In April of 2019, Dr. Mansfield and I keynoted a well-being conference in the Florida area for Advent Health. And it was just 2 weeks later that I'm lying in a bed in a coma, having gone through what I did. And so it's not lost on me, the messages, and they resonate even more powerfully now. And I'm really looking forward to talking to some people in a variety of areas that can really contribute to this mission and contribute to the idea. So you've set the framework, and so it's up to us now to carry on.
Very good. So the other thing you mentioned earlier was for this interview where I was going to be you, you wanted to turn the tables on me. You want to, and I'm not used to answering questions. I'm not used to people knowing about me. So, but I'm okay with it. So why don't you start and I'll share some of my history, whatever you wish.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's start with some basics and some pretty easy questions. First, what inspired you to want to start the podcast?
So the podcast was started pretty much early in the pandemic. And one of the issues was I was doing my work, and I'm not in a health system. I work effectively in a software company as a vendor to the healthcare. And I hate to say it, I had a little time. And I wanted to make a contribution. I wanted to do something that make a difference. And I'd already had discussions with Malcolm, who was basically one of the early founders of the coalition. And I'd done work already with the newsletter. So I had already been committed to the coalition. I really wanted to make a difference. And this was my way of making a contribution back to the physician well-being of the community. I also have something which people maybe don't know about me, but physician by training, but I haven't practiced in years. And I've created a career and a life for myself that I'm very happy with. But I didn't leave medicine because I wanted to be where I am right now. I left medicine because I was miserable at the time. Yeah. And this was my chance to help improve the system of healthcare, make it more supportive, and do some things that I think it should really do. So as I got involved in the newsletter and I was hearing all the different things that are being done and different ways things are being done, and Malcolm approached me and began to bring up the idea of the podcast. I had ideas of how it should be done and how I wanted to contribute. And then I jumped into it, and it's been extraordinarily rewarding ever since.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing with the extra time that you're going to have, and what's really defining the purpose of this next chapter in your life?
Well, just before I don't know if people know my background. Let me just give it 2 seconds on that, because it puts it into context. I was trained in internal medicine by training, but I became the chief information officer for Harvard University Health Services, where I got involved building electronic medical record and dealing with data analytics and things of that nature. I ended up teaching at the Harvard School of Public Health about information technology. So I kind of, my direction, my career is really my major direction was bringing information technology to healthcare. And it was kind of ironic how that worked, because I did it in an environment where we were being responsive to the clinical community. The whole thing with meaningful use, which is the stimulus package for bringing electronic medical records into healthcare, came later. And I felt the record, what we brought to clinicians, was something they actually liked and really made their work better and helped us accomplish their goals. It was good. So it was kind of ironic as my career progressed to now get involved with physician well-being and hear people talk about electronic medical records as the bane of their existence and things of that nature. And so it completely flipped. I don't think technology has to be that way, but often if you want to slam a system in a technology into a system and have it support the billing practices, it does that. And so, that's part of where I came from. And I work for a company called Thesis, which people might have heard at the end of the podcast. We thank Thesis because they donated my time. I still work for Thesis full time. We provide software for healthcare enterprises for various purposes, which might be for peer review purposes or different software supply patient complaints or clinical different types of research purposes. And part of my job is to just throw myself at the various initiatives that we're doing to support our clients. So, for example, one of them that we're working on very actively now is for clinical research site accreditation. And that's basically to bring quality practices to clinical trials, sort of like ISO 9001, the things that are done in the auto industry, airline industry, how to bring those practices to the clinical trial environment. So I'm throwing myself at those sort of things. So my point of it is, the work I've done with the coalition has been extraordinarily rewarding, and I'm really happy I've done it. But it was never my primary path. You know, as I was going through this, I'm also an executive coach, but I wasn't really coaching people who are experiencing burnout. I was doing more leadership coaching and things of that nature. I've learned a lot from the coalition. I've learned a ton from the coalition guests of the podcast. But my main purpose is I still want to work on building and transforming the system of healthcare. How do I go about putting systems in place? And it might be technology systems. It might be leadership systems. But that's where my primary focus has been and will continue to be. And I just needed more time to go back to really push myself and focus myself on that.
Well, there's a lot there. I always tell people technology is your friend till it's not. So we all have that challenge from time to time where we're going to face that. And it's good to have people with both the intent and the abilities that you have to help navigate some of those challenges to make the healthcare experience as human as it can be, because it is so important to address that whole person when they come in. And it can often get tangled and muddied up in the technology transfer. So share with us, if you will, some of your thoughts, and I'll give you some prompts to do so in the history of the podcast. One of the questions I had as I was thinking through some retrospective points of it, what might be one of the most important lessons that you learned either from a specific show or maybe as a compilation of your experience as you've been host of the podcast?
So one of the things about hosting the podcast that's been a joy is getting to know so many wonderful people who are dedicated and working to improve physician well-being. And there's just a lot of good people out there working towards it, which is just, it's a community, which I think is one of the purposes of the podcast, was to bring the community together so that we can all know about each other. That's why we called it the connector, because we want to connect those people and have us learn from each other, but also appreciate that we all exist. The other thing that I think was an overriding lesson that I really enjoyed was I tried to bring people on the podcast who had different perspectives. And I don't know how the audience felt about it, but for me, I was just always blown away where there were so many different perspectives, people trying so many different things, whether they're coaches or leaders or entrepreneurs or academics or various other things, even outside of healthcare, that might be leading an initiative to start a helpline for doctors, whatever it might be. There are so many different approaches and perspectives and people's opinions about how they approach it. And I actually got the feeling the more I did it, that although they're trying lots of different things, they were each being successful in their own way. They were each making their own dent in the process. And in different environments, I think some things might work better than others, and we don't know what works the best. But it's gratifying to see that some people are working towards it and showing signs of success. And that was the main take home for me, that there's a lot you can do. And now the challenge is to, and I leave it to the audience, pull the pieces that really resonate with you the most, pull the things that really think that would work best in your environment and adapt them. Because everyone who's coming on the podcast is doing it to make an improvement, but they come on the podcast to also share their ideas. We're all better off helping each other. And so that's what really came home. I thought that, you know, I'm leaving the podcast because I have other things that I want to do. But the reality is the podcast never got boring. I never felt it got redundant, even though I basically had the same formula where I said, introduce yourself, tell me about yourself. What are you trying to do? How's it working for you? They all had such different answers and such different perspectives that was probably, for me, the biggest lesson coming out of the podcast that I thoroughly enjoyed.
That's great insight. Look back on the programs themselves, if you would, for us, and maybe pick one or two programs that might have been either surprising or challenging to your status quo or even transformational, that you picked up something or learned something from that show that you've been able to put into play in your life or help others put them into play in their lives?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. That's like picking between our children. there's so many things that I really enjoyed. there were a number of times I had guests on who had taken initiative, and they didn't necessarily have a broad, deep background that appeared that they'd be set up for making a difference, but they took initiative in something they care about and made a big difference. Like I mentioned, the Moma Massoud, who basically did the work for setting up a helpline for physicians where psychiatrists volunteer to serve other physicians. This was during the pandemic. She did it because she wanted to do it. She just did it. There's someone else who set up a physician's moms group, and she just did it. And, you know, just and what's amazing about it, in both cases, they did something at scale that was quite large. And I think there were others as well who, within their organizations, also kind of just did it. They just kind of made things happen. And not always having a lot of support, not always being well-funded per se, or having any funding at all, but just somehow seeing a need and taking the initiative to fill it. And I think there are people do that more often than I expected. And that was one of the nice surprises. I like talking to the researchers. You know, there's a whole literature out there on various things where, whether it's learning from Colin West or Dr. Maslach about the Maslach inventory and her ideas, or I think the idea of social determinant theory, there are people using some rigor in a really nice way to apply that we can all use. And I don't think their great insights always kind of get known by people in the field. I'm terrible with names. There's a Dr. Rosen, I can't remember his first name, who basically showed the importance of religion and how it basically supports, how it's therapeutic and what are the advantages and how people can use their religious beliefs to support themselves through hard times, which is one of those things that people might say, well, yeah, kind of obvious. But from a research point of view, it's nice to hear someone at McLean Hospital, who's doing cutting edge research, to say these things. So I think I love talking to the various researchers. The other thing is, for all my guests, I spent a lot of time reading their publications beforehand and learning some of these things and getting into their details. And so I feel that there's so much out there that people are doing. And again, there were other research as well. And frankly, my hesitation in naming them now is I'm having trouble with their names. It's their ideas that kind of sink into my head and I hope become part of my practice. Theories of resiliency and how to promote resiliency through various ways. But again, there are others as well who just were applying their practices in their organization, taking on roles as chief wellness officers or doing counseling within their system or peer coaching. I thought that was a fascinating topic to learn about. There was one physician who came on and talked about his experiences with depression, which I thought was very brave of him, and I really appreciated that as well. So again, it wasn't so much one thing, but it was the diversity of the perspectives and their willingness of people to basically put their ideas out there, share their perspectives, whether they are particularly fond of yoga or one person talked about the personality theory and how he uses that to help for well-being. It's a diversity of approaches that I found most fascinating in everything I dealt with.
In your answer, you started with people doing small things that turned into big things. I'll share a story from my experience during the pandemic when Dr. Mansfield and I, having developed and deployed the trust transformation, we had this opportunity to work with the health and well-being team and some others to set up an opportunity for anyone that had gone through the course to call in to a Teams meeting. And the agenda was, what are you dealing with? What challenges do you have? And so we'd solicit those things ahead of time and we'd get some of that feedback. And then we'd have an open Q&A going the whole time. And, you know, it's a powerful moment when you convene 100 to 150 people at any given time for a live event that that's providing that venue for them to bring the problems from home, the problems from work, and the problems from society, if you will, into the conversation and deal with them and be vulnerable and share their experiences with each other. And over time, it became really baked into the schedule as a regular occurring event. We had done it one time thinking it might have a difference, and then we found out that it needed to continue. And so on a biweekly basis, we were convening this call with all of our frontline workers that had been through the program. And most of the best answers and the best feedback were coming from each other, the peers, as they communicated through us in that venue. And so there is real power in finding solutions to well-being with simple, small acts of care and concern that we all have the capacity and the ability to do. My hope is that they'll take from the stories that we've shared in the past in this platform, those that we'll bring in the future, and others will take that responsibility on and pull the switch and find it.
Yeah. And I think Dr. Mansfield is a good example. There are a number of others as well who are basically physicians practicing often full-time or mostly full-time, who then decided that there's something else I want to change in this world. There's something, I'm seeing my patients one at a time, but there are some other issues that are nagging me where I want to step up. Some of them stepped up into leadership positions, and we're talking about their role in leadership to really make these things happen. Others were, I had a great conversation with a chief medical information officer, and who talked about using technology and how we basically use technology to lessen the burden. So there's just various people who stepped up in various ways, even though they're busy, even though they may have lacked resources. They did what they could. And there's an Arthur Ashe quote, which I can't remember offhand, but it was something to the effect of, start where you are. Three parts. It's start where you are, do what you can. I'm not sure exactly what the third one is, but it's a simple little quote, because it basically is effectively saying, do what you can with what you got and mm-hmm. make the difference you can in this world. And there's so many people who seem to be doing that's what I really take heart in.
That's great perspective. As we get sort of to the end of our time together, I just want to open it up to you and get your thoughts on what more can this podcast do? What ideas do you see in the future, or perhaps what excites you about what we can do with this platform as we continue to move forward with it?
Well, the thing that excites me is the continuing to make the connections happen. It's to take the people who maybe, as you call them, celebrities in the field, but it's also taking the people who are just in the trenches doing what they're doing and making sure that we hear their perspective and see what's going on there. The other thing that I noticed in the podcast was most of what I did on the podcast wasn't really planned. You know, it was kind of, I would run into people, or I'd read a story, or I'd find something interesting, or I'd have a question, and then I'd follow through and bring the guest on, whoever that I might encounter. So I'm looking forward to continuously being surprised by the podcast, by the guests who are doing things that I never would have asked, is there someone doing that? And then discover, just by happenstance, discovering, is there someone doing that? And it's working reasonably well. It's actually, there's something to be learned from that. And so I think it's those magical discoveries that I found so interesting.
Well, Dr. Brown, I want to again thank you for setting all this up, putting everything in motion, leading this this initiative for the last few years, being the host and the warm voice on the other end to help introduce people to new ideas and new people that are changing the world one person at a time in their health and well-being approach. And I look forward to carrying that on. And I hope can live up to the quality and the programming that you've done thus far. And with that, I'll invite everyone to continue to tune in on a monthly basis as we host the conversations here that address opportunities to improve our health and our well-being on the Well-Being Connector.
And I want to thank you for taking over and continuing the tradition. And I want to thank everyone online who's been a listener and is working to improve and make the world a better place as best they can and doing what they can. So thank you everyone for who's been listening, and anyone who wants to get in touch with me, I still exist. So always looking to hear, looking forward to hearing from people.
Fantastic.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep. We'll see you next month.
Before I end the podcast today, I want to make a correction. I mangled a quote earlier when during the interview, and I wanted to state the quote correctly. It's by Arthur Ashe, and it's, "Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can." It's a deceptively simple quote, and I find it very meaningful, and I find great things can be done with just that simple quote. Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. Well, that's our show for today. I want to thank Roy Reed for joining us today and for sharing both his insights and personal story. I also want to thank the Coalition and particularly Malcolm Herring for getting me started on this podcast. It's been a wonderful experience. I've learned a great deal, and I'm honored that they trusted me with the podcast and gave me this wonderful opportunity. Today, I also want to give a special shout out to my listeners. All of you are contributing in different ways to promoting clinician well-being, and it is my hope that through this podcast, I've made some small contribution to your work. Thank you for listening, and thank you for all that you do. Also, if anyone wishes to contact me or stay in touch, you can reach me at mbrown@acesis.com. That's mbrown@acesis.com. Thank you again, and now the standard ending to the podcast. If you wish to learn more about the Coalition, please visit our website at www.forphysicianwellbeing.org. You can also check us out on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. I also want to thank our volunteers and the staff from the Coalition who made this podcast possible. Finally, I'd like to thank Acesis, A-C-E-S-I-S, Incorporated, for sponsoring my time working on this podcast. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and his guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Coalition for Physician Wellbeing, its board, or other members of the Coalition. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Brown, wishing our caregivers out there meaning, purpose, and joy in the practice of medicine. Together we are stronger. Until next time.